Whenever I have the last service of the year, I just can't do anything else except give thanks to God. And you know, you're not going to get anything profound today. You're going to get a reminder of how thankful we need to be. You know, I call it one of my meat and potatoes messages. Just, you know, yeah, meat and potatoes. You know, there's certain things you got to feast on all the time. You know, you need a certain diet in your life physically to be healthy and to be whole. And same thing, you need a certain diet. I mean, we need everything of the Word of God. But, you know, there's a certain diet we need of the Word of God, I believe, that we can never forget, that we just have to keep reminding ourselves. And I believe one of those is to be reminded of the goodness of God and just reflect on how good He's been to us through the year. And just come to Him at the end of the year with a thankful heart. So this morning, that's my message. Not that, just that, but the title, A Thankful Heart. And you know, today, in this day and age, we tend to just be dissatisfied and grumble and complain about everything. But you know, Scripture is very clear about being thankful. And so we're going to start with Ephesians chapter. I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture today. So if you don't leave here feeling thankful, well, something's wrong. Because this is God's word to you, and regardless of what kind of year you've had, whether it's been good, whether it's been terrible, or whatever, we still have very much to be thankful for. All right, so we're just going to start with these verses here. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. How many know the days are evil? My goodness. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, what the Lord's will is. Now, here's it. You know, people get confused. What is the Lord's will? We're going to see it a couple places today, but here it is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's just like all immoral type, wild living, okay? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, actually means be being filled daily, moment by moment. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many of us do that? I think we forget, you know? Like, when we're together, just talk about things of the Lord. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Whoa. This is talking about every day. Like we heard, worship. Okay. Always, how often? Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to the Father. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this while he was in prison. And he, of all people, really had a right to be bitter in life. If anybody gets that right, which we really don't. But, you know, he had a right to be bitter. Yes, he had great revelations of the Lord. And yes, you know, God showed him great things. But, you know, a lot of that could have paled into nothing with the kind of life he lived, because the biggest part of his life after being born again was in prison. And I mean, he was abused, he was whipped, he was rejected, he was, you know, rejected from people that he knew, from his, you know, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had to suffer imprisonment like so often. And like, you know, the chains cutting into his wrists and his legs and all that. And yet, what does he say? Put it up again, Charlie, that last verse. Always in everything, always giving thanks. And he talked about singing to the Lord, giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if this is how Paul felt, I don't think we really have anything to grumble about. I think we need to get in the habit of being thankful and joyful in every situation. Paul says in other places that, you know, he'd learn what it was like to be content. you know, to live with plenty, to live without. I don't think we've learned that. I think we've been spoiled in the West. You know, there are countries, you know, that really don't have what we have. And yet, sometimes we think we're living without. But it comes from that love of the Lord, where that joy comes deep inside, and you have a thankful, grateful heart. Not just, oh, wow, God did something good for me, but realizing that your very breath is the goodness of God. The fact that you still exist, that you still live. Acts says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him. So we have a lot to be thankful for. So I just picked out a couple things. You know, the Bible is full of things to be thankful for, and our lives are full of things to be thankful for. But I just picked out a couple that I think we tend to ignore more than anything. And one of them is being thankful for our material blessings. And let's just look at 1 Chronicles 29, Charlie. Both riches and honor come from who? From God. Riches and honor come from him. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. When was the last time you really thanked God for his blessings to you and the fact that you do live well? We live well in this country, but we never seem to be satisfied with what we have. You know, we got to have the latest technology. We got to have, you know, the next new car. As soon as this one comes out, we got to have this one. We got to have that. We got to have this. And we never seem to be satisfied. It's not wrong to have things, because God wants to bless us with these things in life. But our contentment shouldn't be in those things. And we should remember who gave them to us. Right? Riches and honor come from God. Maybe if we thought about it like that, we'd be more grateful. We'd be more thankful. And you think, oh, yeah, but, you know, I work hard. You can work hard because of the life and the breath of God that's in you. You got a good job because God has blessed you with a good job. You know, like, none of you look dressed shabbily today. And none of us, after Christmas, look like we're starving. Okay? We're truly blessed. And we need to remember that it all comes from God. And thank our God and praise his glorious name. And, you know, not think about what you don't have. What you don't have should pale into insignificance compared to what you do have. And you know, like, I'm speaking to all of us, but sometimes young people, listening, teenagers, sometimes you think you're hardly done by, don't you? Remember, everything you have is a gift of God, and thank him for it. And that really brings me to the next one, is we don't often, why I said that was, because we don't often thank the people in our lives that God has put in our lives. And, you know, I'll take that next one, like children. How often do you thank your parents? Sometimes? All the time? How often do we thank our friends? Our spouses. I'm just giving you something to think about today. You know, our church family. How much do you love and appreciate your church family? You know, and let's face it, people can get on each other's nerves. That's life. It's family, exactly. It's life and it's family. And what do we do with that? If we have a grateful heart and we're thankful to the Lord, then we can be thankful for those people in our lives, even when we get rubbed the wrong way. You know, it's amazing what gratefulness and thankfulness can do to your morale. You know, you could feel down in the dumps, or you could just be whinging about somebody, or just, and, you know, if you turn that around and start to thank God, you know, look for the good qualities in people. And just remember, you know, the people who are around you, and even, you know, grocery stores and stuff, you know, those tellers never get thanked. Those checkout people. And we've had people say that to us. We thanked them, and they said, wow, no one ever says that to us. I picked up some 40 balloons for Aubrey's birthday, and the woman there, you know, I said, oh, well, I said, if I pick them up on the Monday, not on Christmas Eve, I said, will they last for the next day? And she said, yeah, we'll put something in them and they'll last. And then there was a particular balloon I really liked. She said, oh, you can't have that one. And she says, because that won't last till the next day. So I started to think, oh, maybe if I got in here on Christmas Eve in the morning. I said, what if I was to get here early? She says, no, we're closed Christmas Eve. First time in 20 years they were closed on Christmas Eve. And I said, and she said that to me, and I said, well, good on you. I said, enjoy the break. And she just looked at me and she said, no one ever says that. She said, we get abused if we close. And I thought, you know, something as little as that of just making a comment to someone, showing your appreciation to them and thanking them, you know, for what they're doing in your life. Let's just look at 1 Corinthians 1:4. That Paul made a habit of, really, in the beginning of all his letters, thanking the churches. But it's interesting here because this is the beginning of Corinthians where he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. And if you read the rest of that chapter, which we're not going to, then after he was very nice, he then politely, I don't know how politely Paul can be sometimes, but then he went on to address their issues. And the Corinthian church at this time was like in division. They were quarreling, you know, it's like, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul, I'm for Christ, I'm for this one. And so there was a lot of divisions among them. And yet he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. You remember, it's the Corinthian church that went wacko with the gifts and were doing crazy things. Like, I mean, they were a crazy bunch. But Paul loved them. He thanked God for them. You know, thank God for whatever the crazy bunch is that he's put in your life. You know, he puts us in families. He puts us in communities. He places us, and those people around us were meant to encourage and uplift, and the same vice versa. We're meant to thank God for one another, not beat each other up. We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be thankful for. And then one that nobody likes to be thankful for is trials and persecution. Let's just look at James chapter 1. Oh, I know, woe is me. Now, we're not thanking God for the trial, okay? So get me right here. It's thanking God in the midst of the trial. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Who counts it joy? Not me. But this is a scripture, you know. I think about it and I think, you know, you say this, and we're supposed to really do this. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that's mature, and complete, lacking nothing. Like I said, we're not thanking God for the trial or the persecution, but we're thanking God that we know he is faithful and he will get us through to the other side. You know, there is just something about, really, like when you're in the middle of it, I know it's difficult to do, I have found it very difficult to do at times when I'm in the middle of a, you know, a deep trial or persecution. And yet, if you take that time and you just block that bit out and focus on God and start to thank him and worship him for the things in your life that he's doing for you. And the fact that you know he will get you through, it makes a huge difference. A huge difference. You know, I've gotten into a habit, and it's not works, and it's not just a habit. It comes from my heart every morning or in the car. It happens several times in the day, and that Psalm 103 bursts through my heart. You know, every day I'm saying, and when I start it, it's like, you know, yeah, I'll thank you, Lord, and I'll praise you. But as I get into it, it's like a prayer that really starts, and the emotion comes over me, and I become so overwhelmed with God's goodness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. I thank him. Thank you that you forgive all my iniquities. When I miss it, you forgive me. Thank you, Lord, that you heal all my diseases, even when it doesn't feel like it. You heal all my diseases. I thank you for it. Thank you that you redeem my life from destruction. How many of you know you've been pulled out when the Lord has redeemed your life from destruction? These are times of trial and persecution we're talking about. You redeem my life from destruction. And this one always gets me. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't ever underestimate the mercy of God. His mercy is, you can't even explain it. There is nothing to compare to it, to God's mercy. Crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with good things, all the wonderful things that he gives us. And, yes, you renew my youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. I always say, hear that, buddy? You are renewed like the eagles. And sometimes when I feel that way, my husband says to me, yeah, but you know what the eagles got to go through to get there? I said, thank you for that. He said, but you'll get there. He always reminds me of that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Okay, so this is what we're going to all be like in the new year, right? Rejoice always. How often do you rejoice, people? This is a good one. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? Have a grateful heart. Have a grateful heart. You're talking to the Lord. You don't forget that he's with you. He's living in you. You communicate with him. It really does mean without ceasing. It means, you know, the Greek translation means uninterrupted. Whoa. Wow. It's having this consciousness and awareness of who's living in you all the time, 24/7, and having that communication open all the time. In everything, there it is again, give thanks. Here we go, the will of God. Don't know what the will of God is? In everything, give thanks, for this is all those things we just said. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Simple. Yeah. Chuck liked that little Meerkat commercial. Simples. But it is. It is. You know, when you know God and you make it a point to have that fellowship with him and just love on him and thank him for everything, you know, just even the little things. Thank God for the little things, you know, in your life. And then I got just a few more here because, you know, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, really, like I'd be here for a week if I had to go through every verse on thankfulness, gratefulness, all those things that we should have the Lord. But you know, I just thought we'll pick out a few, and our best example is Jesus. You know, he's the one, like, we hear all these things and all these things that are said in the Bible, but, you know, Jesus, we are to imitate him. And in John 11, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now, he was going to raise a dead man. He said, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I've said this, that they may believe that you sent me. How many times when we pray and we're in a serious situation, do we look up to heaven and say, Father, I thank you right now that you've heard me? Even before we pray, I thank you that you've heard me. We tend to get stressed in our prayers sometimes, you know, don't we? Stressed and worried and, oh, you know, but just, he was going to raise a dead man. And he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I know, how confident are we that we know he always hears us? You know, and the passages in 1 John, the 3rd of John, 1 John, that says, you know, and I have this confidence that I have the things that I ask for because I know that he hears me. And I ask according to his will. He says, Father, I thank you, and I know you always hear me. You know, if there's dead situations in your life, thank the Lord that he will raise them up. Thank the Lord that he hears you. He hears the cry of your heart. You know, he hears that, the pain. He sees and hears the pain or whatever it is that you're going through. And thank the Lord, you know, ahead of time, before you see it. And then back in John chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000, it says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Next. Isn't there another one there? Can you go back to 11, because it should say there where he gave thanks. Yeah, there it is. Sorry. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. All right. So he gave thanks first. He distributed them to the disciples. And, of course, we see multiplication happened after giving thanks. But when we jump down, thank you, Charlie, now to the next one. John reminds us of this again in this chapter. So there must be something very important about this thankfulness. On the following day, so this is the day after the feeding of the 5,000. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered this boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Sounds like a Paul sentence. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Why did John say that? Why? So he tells us earlier in the chapter, Jesus gave thanks and then distributed. And now he tells us the next day at the place where they ate after the Lord had given thanks. What's that tell you? People would say, oh, it just means thank the Lord before we eat. Oh, please, it's more than that. Yes, we do thank the Lord when we eat. But it's that thankfulness when it comes from your heart. It's not just bless this food, amen. You know, that thankfulness for everything that we have produces multiplication. He was thankful to God before he knew what was going to happen. Those disciples didn't. And yet it says, again, reinforces after he gave thanks. After he gave thanks. Look, I don't want to be a grumbling person, one who's complaining all the time about what you might not have or what's not working right or what's not going your way. You know, I want to be a person with a thankful heart. And just with Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. We need to remember this when we're in the middle of anxious thoughts. but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. You know, oftentimes, present your request to God. Oftentimes, the prayer's there, the petition's there, and the thanksgiving isn't. You know, we have all these things we bring to the Lord, but the thanksgiving isn't. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is nothing like the peace that comes from God with a thankful heart. Truly, it's when you take that time to thank God, you know, teach your children to be thankful to the Lord for all that they have. Never attribute God's goodness to anything other than God himself. You know, some people say, oh, you know, but that was, you know, that was just coincidence, or that should have happened. You know, like I said, that check we're getting from the Sydney Eye Hospital that, you know, they overcharged us. That's God. That comes from God. Because God made sure 2 years later that we got recompensed for what was due us. It's in Proverbs. 2 years later, $560. I'll take it. But you know, like, yes, we're grateful to Sydney Eye Hospital. Chuck even said, oh, well, thank you for finding that out, and you know. But the main gratitude goes to the Lord. And I still believe, you know, it's just from the bottom of my heart, when you attribute everything that you have and everything that you are to who gave it to you and to who is in your life, that attitude and that heart of thankfulness and gratefulness will see you through everything in life, and the peace of God will be in your heart. Don't get agitated. And I'm preaching to myself too. Don't get agitated. Don't get uptight. Don't get worried about things. Take it to the Lord in petition and prayer with thanksgiving. We are a blessed people. And I just want our ushers to pass out the communion. And once the elements are passed out, we're just going to do something a little different today. After everyone's received their bread and wine, we're going to stand, and I would just like a couple people, two or three maybe, just to pray and thank God for something, some blessing this year. And, you know, it could be within our nation, it could be about our nation, it could be about your personal life, it could be about anything. But I think, you know, we've heard a message. And I'd like us to just be a bit practical this morning. It doesn't have to be everybody, you know, and it doesn't have to be long. You know, just a prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord, even if it's just one line. You know, the fact that we're still sitting here with the magnitude of the fires that have enveloped Australia this season. You know, and I don't think anybody here has lost loved ones, have you? Or friends or family that you know of. You know, we're blessed to have Chris and Kathy with us today, and they drove down through the fire line, man, like all the way down. When I saw when they were coming down and where they were driving through, I thought, oh my goodness. You know, but they're safe. They're safe. We have a lot to be grateful for. The fact that we live in a country, you know, where we can still worship God. You know, in a country where I can still go into the hospital as a chaplain and talk to people about things of the Lord. And we have a lot to be thankful for. as Scripture says, you do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of all that he does for us, all that he has done and all that he continues to do. So that is what we're going to do this morning. We are going to remember our God. We're going to be thankful to him and grateful to him. Just stand with me now. Thank you for playing, Ben. This has been played softly like that. Look, just as the Spirit leads you, just two or three, you know, just lead out in prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for something before we take communion. Lord, we thank you for the supreme sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you. We remember that God is with us. And Lord, I thank you for this family that we have here to share this time of breaking bread together with. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon every single person here. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all the wonderful things that you will continue to do in and through us. Lord, not only in this church, but in the community, in the nation. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming soon. But not without a great revival and many, many, many people coming to the Lord. And Lord, we look forward to that. We thank you, Lord, that we will see you move in miraculous ways amongst us in the new year and until you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take together. Sing that last song as the cups are being collected.